It's a parade. Yeah. You should look at it. It's a great parade. Our second scripture lesson is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 13. And this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian congregation. We don't give anyone any reason to be offended about anything, so that our ministry won't be criticized. Instead, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in every way. We did this with our great endurance through problems, disasters, and stressful situations. We went through beatings, imprisonments, and riots. We experienced hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. We displayed purity, knowledge, patience, and generosity. We served with the Holy Spirit, genuine love, telling the truth, and God's power. We carried the weapons of righteousness in our right hand and our left hand. We were treated with honor and dishonor, with verbal abuse and good evaluation. We were seen as both fake and real, as unknown and well-known, as dying, and look, we are alive. We were seen as punished but not killed, as going through pain but always happy, as poor but making many rich, and as having nothing but owning everything. Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, and our hearts are wide open. There are no limits to the affection that we feel for you. You are the ones who place boundaries on your affection for us. But as a fair trade, I'm talking to you like you are children. Open your hearts wide to. Let us pray. Oh, dearest God, open our hearts wide. Teach us to be ministers in this world. And somehow, oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Redefining all. Pastor Liz has presented for us the radical text in our scripture lesson, our first lesson, the message of Jesus. Who is the greatest? The disciples want to know. They want to be the greatest, right? They want to be the greatest. They want to be counted as the greatest. They want to be recognized as the greatest. They want to hear that they're the greatest. And then Jesus brings to them this little girl on the cover of our bulletin. Take a look at her if you haven't already. Jesus brings to them a little child, stands the child next to him, and says, "Here is the greatest in the eyes of God. Love her, welcome her, and you welcome me, Jesus, and you welcome God." Friends, I have served in many churches that said, "All are welcome here." And then we're told, "Well, sir, you need to wear a jacket if you're going to usher in our church today. And, oh, I'm sorry, but you and your children will have to be in the back 40 because, you know, we don't want to hear them. We want them to be seen but not heard." We welcome all in words sometimes, but not in actions. And we have obviously seen a very unwelcoming behavior in our country this week that distresses us all. And that is the premise, this welcome is the premise of our faith leaders in the United Church of Christ. And I am going to read their letter to us and to our country. Condemning the unconscionable assertion that migrant children should be separated from their parents because of orderly and lawful processes that protect the weak and lawful, a biblical statement used to justify U.S. immigration policies, United Church of Christ national leadership has issued this pastoral letter, urging the people of the denomination's almost 5,000 congregations to take action now. First, by contacting their congressional representatives, and then by providing funds to keep families together, money to be used to support the people sleeping in the streets at the borders of this country, or those parents and children separated upon entry. Psalm 106. Still, when God saw the trouble they were in and heard their cries for help, God remembered God's covenant with them and immense with love took them by the hand. God poured out mercy on them while their captors looked on amazed. End quote. Friends, once again, we stand at the brink of a moral precipice in our society, and the question before us is, will we choose to act in covenant with God on behalf of God's people, or will we sacrifice our souls? United Church of Christ has long been a supporter of migrant families seeking refuge within our borders from intolerable and unsafe living conditions in their homelands. As people of God, committed to the sacredness of all creation and the sanctity of every life, we are compelled to heed the cries of families now being violently torn apart at our borders for political expediency and profitability. Such violent acts are unnecessarily punitive and place at risk the physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual, and developmental stability of hundreds of families who now find themselves separated, caged, and commodified in a strange land. All of our sacred texts, no matter the faith, identify the disregard of the humanity of the vulnerable as sin. And God hears the cries of all God's people, the plight of black and brown migrant families whose children are ripped from their care cannot be the policy of a civilized land. We've been here before. Our nation's history bears witness to a legacy of lost love. We separated the children of native people from their families. We separated the children of enslaved people from their families. We separated the children of Japanese people from their families. Many of these families were never made whole again. This legacy of white supremacist ideology is idolatrous and leaves an indelible mark of evil that can only be redeemed by a conscious act of spiritual repentance and repair. We must resist the evil of dehumanization enacted upon the vulnerable among us. The United Church of Christ strongly condemns the dismantling of families, the criminalization of the quest for freedom, and the caging of those whose only crime is to seek shelter from harm. How we treat those who seek shelter in our midst is a direct reflection on how we treat God. We call upon our 5,000-member churches to write letters to representatives in Congress as an act of worship. We call upon you to remind Congress that there is a law that supersedes partisanship and political bantering, and that is the sanctity of all people of God. Faithfully yours, the National Officers of the United Church of Christ, the Reverend John Dorhauer, the Reverend Tracy Blackmon, the Reverend James Moose. Who is the greatest? What will make us great Christians? How will we become the greatest country in the world? And Jesus' answer is to look at those we consider last, the ones we leave out altogether. Do we want to be great in the eyes of God? How can we welcome others as honored guests? You know, this sermon series on demystifying Jesus and the teaching of Jesus was put together in April. And little did we know, Liz and I, that this particular Sunday would be after a week where children and pictures of children have been all over our news waves, airwaves, in our hearts, and I'm certain in our prayers. The original plan, though, was to focus on open and affirming. In the United Church of Christ, we are an open and affirming congregation. We became an open and affirming congregation in 2006. We were the first congregation in this association to become ONA, our abbreviation. We want to be inclusive of all LGBTQ siblings among us. So this is a courageous congregation. I wouldn't be here as your first out lesbian pastor if you weren't people of courage, of welcome, of integrity. And this 2 Corinthians text of St. Paul to me speaks to your courage. It speaks of the countercultural struggle to be God's messengers. Paul names the suffering and the efforts to communicate across barriers of culture and misunderstanding. And friends, it seems as though the gulf of understanding is getting wider instead of narrower. The second half of the 20th century domesticated Jesus, took away his unpopular welcome of the outsiders and the outcasts. And we are struggling as people of faith to regain the radical intentions of Jesus' gospel, of his good news. We have to be willing to endure suffering to bring the message of welcome. We seek to love even when we are called names and rejected. Now, I'm looking out here because a lot of people have joined worship, and I was behind this card, and I don't see Paul von Ooyen this morning. And I believe the reason I don't see Paul von Ooyen this morning is because the bus came back from Washington, D.C. I think it was supposed to get in at 6 a.m. this morning. Yesterday, the Poor People's Campaign was in Washington, D.C. He and many others were on a busload. I don't know about any of you. I watched for a while. There was live streaming for 3 hours. And it's the end of the 40-day launch of the Poor People's Campaign. And the Poor People's Campaign, you know, was launched originally by Martin Luther King Jr. right before he was assassinated. We have a message as people of faith, a message of a just world for all. And what does that mean? It means the right to a living wage. It means a right to education. It means a right to health care. It means laws that are justly for everyone. It means even clean water to drink. And meanwhile, 2,600 children are being shuttled through concentration camps, separated from their families, and scattered across several states. And we wonder, how did we get here? Well, some of you know I'm a psychology major, so I'm going to go there. I hear the bottom line for Paul as reconciliation, as relationship. The relationship between God and us, yes. The relationship between nations and individuals, yes. The relationships we have with each other, yes. And even the relationship, friends, that we have with ourselves. Because, friends, we are told everywhere that we are supposed to be great. We're supposed to strive to be the greatest. We're supposed to be greater than others. And sometimes we treat ourselves as unwelcome. We put our own self-esteem in a cage, separated from the loving nurture of acceptance. And friends, those of us who have the label of the LGBTQ community, we probably understand that a little closer because we have other people telling us, you are not great, you are less than great, you are an abomination. So we've had to confront that. But all of us, regardless of our age, our station, our talents, our skills, our jobs, our bank accounts, we all have within us a part of a nagging voice that says, you are not welcome. You are not acceptable. You are not enough. And Jesus' message was precisely for that nasty little voice inside of us, which, frankly, friends, keeps coming out of us and putting it upon others. Jesus hung out with the outcasts. And the disciples, it's interesting about this gospel text, the disciples who are mostly outcasts, they're worrying about, okay, in this Jesus thing that's going on here, we want to know where are we in the pecking order? And then they had to hear the message, well, the least among us is the greatest. When we put our own self-esteem in a cage, when we count ourselves as unwelcome in some way, as not great, we tend to act that out with others. So, who is the least in your estimation? When you see yourself as better than, greater than, is it better than the guy in the corner of Big Beaver and Woodward? Is it the convict? The adulterer? Is it the addict? Is it your cousin? Jesus says, welcome the child, the least in yourself, and you are the greatest in the heart of God. I want you to hear again the words of Paul, this time in the Message paraphrase. I believe these words are words that we as the church need to hear about what it means to be messengers of Jesus in this world. Verse 3. Don't put it off. Don't frustrate God's work by showing up late, throwing a question mark over everything we're doing. Our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details. People are watching us as we stay at our post, alertly, unswervingly, in hard times, tough times, bad times, when we're beaten up, jailed, and mobbed, working hard, working late, working without eating, with pure heart, clear head, steady hand, in gentleness, holiness, and honest love. When we're telling the truth and when God's power is showing, when we're doing our best, setting things right. When we're praised and when we're blamed, slandered and honored, true to our word, though distrusted, ignored by the world, but recognized by God, terrifically alive, though rumored to be dead, beaten within an inch of our lives, but refusing to die, immersed in tears, yet always filled with deep joy, living on handouts, yet enriching many, having nothing, having it all, Dear Corinthians, dear Christians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. There ends the text. Who are you considering to be the least? Yourself? Someone else? How would Jesus welcome what you have rejected? How can we open up our lives? How can we see the eyes of a kidnapped child, the one on the news, and the one inside of us all? Jesus is inviting us to welcome all. Will we live openly and expansively? May it be so.